In Kehelis and Perek Zion it says, Toivel Eches al Beis Evil. It's better to go to a Shiva house than it is to go to a Simcha. And the Pasuk concludes by saying, because Shezesov Kol Ha'odom, and everybody is going to be at some point having their children sitting Shiva for them. And you'll take that bit seriously. You go to a Simcha, there's no guarantees that, as it were, you'll engage with what's going on in the Simcha. There are in-laws there, after all. But if you go to a Shiva house, that's the sof of every single one of us. And then Bachai, and then you'll pay attention to that, you'll take that seriously. So that's why Kohelis says it's a better thing to do. But that's a better thing from your point of view. Because if you go, you're going to learn something from that. Someday your children, and hopefully it will be your children. Every parent wants their children to be sitting Shiva for them. The alternative, of course, is something none of us want to face. But you pay attention to that, so therefore it's a chinuch. It's something that's going to be good for you. But that's really not the reason why we go to a Shiva house. You go to a Shiva house because it's something that's good for the Avelim. You're there to do this huge mitzvah of being there. That's very important. People miss the point. Just being there is the greatest and most important thing you can do. Let me tell you a story. I know somebody originally from Manchester in England, where I lived for 22 years before immigrating to the United States. And there was somebody who lost a son, a young man, in tragic circumstances. And the circumstances were so tragic that it broke the hearts of everybody who knew, who were family, who were friends. And the Shiva house was busy, very busy. During the entire week, the father of the boy who had passed away sat in his chair with his head down, looking at his shoes. And not once during the entire week did he look up. They got up from Shiva Friday morning, and when they were sitting Friday night around the table, the rest of the family, the father commented to his children what a huge nechoma it was, how many people had come to the Shiva, and everybody was astonished. His children were astonished, because none of them thought that he had registered, that he had understood, he had realized how many people were in the room with him, because he never looked up, but he had, and he didn't speak, not once. And of course, as we all know the halacha, if the oval doesn't speak to you, you're not allowed to speak to them. They have to start the conversation, for a very obvious reason. They might not want to speak. And he didn't want to speak the entire week. So people thought he just hadn't realized. His family thought he hadn't realized how many people were there, but he did. And he found it a huge nechoma that people were there. That's all. Before you get to speaking, just being there, supporting somebody. You know, there's a Ramban. The Ramban talks about the various gifts that Klal Yisrael gave to the Ummas HaOlam, to the world. One of the gifts is Shabbos. Now, he doesn't mean to say that the Ummas HaOlam have to bench licht and make kiddush, etc. Of course, we know that that would be an Issa Deraisa. But the idea of not having to work 365 and a quarter days, that there should be a rest, was one of the gifts of the Torah, one of the gifts of Klal Yisrael to the whole world. You may be interested to know that in Japan, they have no day of rest. They do work 365 and a quarter days a year. So another gift, if we could give it, I think would be something like Shiva. I don't know of anything as therapeutic, as wonderful as sitting Shiva. Of course, nobody wants to sit Shiva. But if you're going to go through, and it is Sof Kol Odom, that's the end of every one of us. If that has to occur, if there's going to be a Shiva that's there in order to provide the remedy or the beginning of the tikkun, which is what the whole process is about, then there's nothing more wonderful that you could think of than that. And I had a friend when I was sitting Shiva for my late wife. I had a friend who didn't manage. He's a Rav, huge Talmud Chacham. And he didn't manage to get in the whole week, and that so often happens. Never, incidentally, put off going to Shiva till the next day, because suddenly you find that the Avelim have got up, the week has run away and disappeared, and you've missed your chance. A Rav like me, and he turned around and he said, "I'm so sorry I didn't get to Shiva." And then he said, "No. But what could I say to you? You know everything that I know." But my friend, who is a friend, missed the point of that story which I just told you. It's not a question of coming and telling you something necessarily. Nothing great, great insight that might bring you comfort. Just being there for somebody is a huge comfort in its own right. But of course, you are supposed to find words if the person wants to hear them, if they engage you with conversation. one that's all about the words. The right words can be the most wonderful refuah to the pain that somebody's going through. Conversely, lahifach, the wrong words, can do incredible damage. So if a person is going to be sitting Shiva, I want to give you a piece of advice. This advice was given to me when my late wife was first diagnosed with cancer. A very good friend of mine, Rabbi Professor Dr. David Gottlieb in Yerushalayim, his Rebbetzin phoned us up and she said to us, keep an idiot book. I said, what? Keep an idiot book, she said. Some people are going to say incredibly stupid and tactless things to you. Instead of being very upset and hurt, write them down. There was one lady who came to my late wife when she was just diagnosed with cancer and said, you've got breast cancer, haven't you? And my wife said, yes. She said, you know, Mrs. Plinus has got the same diagnosis as you, and she went to see a tzaddik. And the tzaddik gave her a brocha that she should live long enough to see all her children married off. Why are you marrying your children off so quickly? Gewaldig! How about that? Isn't that fantastic? She went straight to the top number in our top 10 of really stupid comments. It was a stupid comment. L'shem Shemayim, this is a wonderful person, a kind person. She didn't mean to hurt. She didn't mean to say something tactless, and people don't. But people, when you are really sensitive, even not a stupid thing can hurt. But rather than be hurt, keep an idiot book. Now, you don't have to literally, you know, go to Staples and buy one. Just keep a mental note. And instead of being hurt, you find the comment frankly amusing. And then later, when everybody's gone away and you're having that last cup of coffee at the end of the evening after Maariv and all the mitzvahs done and you're about to lie down and go to sleep, you can all laugh about the tactless comment. It helps because people will see the wrong thing. And we all know, because I'll say, that time heals. And that's why there's Shiva, and then there's Shoshim, and then there's the first year, and then there's the Yotzeh. And eventually, after 50 years, there's not even that, because time has healed. And time is the only real healer. And you have to talk to those people who've lost somebody. You have to talk to somebody who's going to help you to calculate when's the right time for the next move, the right decision for your kids, for yourself, etc. But if time is the healer, and there's no way to speed up time, the emergency treatment, that's Shiva. And just being surrounded by people who love and people who are concerned for your pain is an enormous thing. And we know what Chazal say, Nasa ba'odim chaveri. I remember I went to see a very, very close old friend of mine, no longer here. Same first name as me, Yehuda Yoiner, Yudel Reich. He's got many children here in the United States, all Talmidei Chachamim. Fine, fine family. And I was visiting the sons, I think, maybe seven sons, I can't even remember. And the tati was having a shlof. He was an old man. And when they knew that I was there, and he had a special soft spot for me, I suppose because we shared the same name, they went to get the daddy up from his rest because the other Yehuda Yoiner was here. So he came in, he sat down, and he said to me, how long were you married to your late wife? And I said, 26 years. And he went, Reverse the number for me. They've been married for 62 years. But the reason that they wanted me to speak to him and him to speak to me is because they knew there was a kesher, and they also knew that I had gone through the same as him. There's an enormous advantage if life has given you a difficulty which you've overcome, and you know that somebody's going through the same difficulty, and you go to a Shiva house, just seeing somebody who's been there and somehow or other managed to emerge around the other side or through the other side is a huge nechama. Nosa ba'olim chaveri means you're able to be nosa ba'ol. You can carry it. You have carried it the same as somebody else. It's a bigger mitzvah. It's a huge achrayus. If somebody's gone through something you've went through, to let them see, you know, I was there. You can be where I am now. You don't have to say it. Just the fact that you sit in front of them and they know that you lost a wife and you survived, you lost a child and you survived, that's huge. That's a huge thing you can do. And when you're visiting somebody who's sitting Shiva, they're going through all sorts of pain. Well, to state the obvious, if they'd lost a mommy, they lost a daddy, I mean, that's obvious what the pain is. But there'll be unwritten, unsaid pain there as well. And you should be aware of that. Almost always, when somebody passes away, there is that horrible word that the Jewish people, that Klal Yisrael, sadly does very well, and that is guilt. We're very good at guilt. Well, we all know that the Gemara in Brachos says if something bad happens to you, you fast from myself, the Gemara in Brachos, that, hey? And that's true, you should, you fast from myself, but there is good guilt and there's bad guilt. Good guilt comes from there, and it invites you to examine mistakes that you've made and use the mistakes to make sure you don't do them again. Don't forget the Chazal say that every avera you do, when you really do teshuva, then the avera isn't just wiped clean, it becomes a mitzvah because it was a springboard to allow you to change yourself. That's good guilt. Good guilt is when you're able to take the experience and use it positively. I wrote a book recently called The Little Book for Big Worries, dealing with serious illness, because it's part of the parsha of Nosaba Oilam Chaveri. I want to use my experiences to help other people. Would I have volunteered to have lost a wife to cancer so that I'm able to help other people? Certainly not. I would have volunteered not to have, so that I couldn't help other people. But if you find yourself in that parsha, then you can use that experience, even the mistakes that you made, you can use the mistakes to share with other people, to let them know. You can recover from that as well. You can ask mechila from a mace. You can get forgiveness from a mace. I have to tell you, in the 5 years that my wife was not well, from the beginning of her diagnosis for breast cancer, I was with her, to the moment that she passed away 5 years later, when I was holding her hand. Look, I don't know what they're going to say to YY Rubenstein when I get upstairs and I'm standing in front of the Beis Din Shel Malo. But one thing I know, I'm not going to get 99% as a husband over those 5 years. I'm going to get 100%. So sometimes we get it right and sometimes we get it wrong. And you can help somebody. Good guilt is when you learn from your mistakes and you don't repeat them, or you help other people to learn from your mistakes so as not to make the same ones. Bad guilt is just when it eats away at you. One is good guilt and it comes from up there because it evokes change in a positive direction. Bad guilt comes from down there, and all that does is tear you down. And the people, almost always sitting Shiva, will have regrets and be sorry that they didn't visit enough, or maybe they lost their temper once, or whatever. It's important, if they ask about that, to point out the difference between good guilt and bad guilt. And also, don't forget to reassure them that they are human beings. We all make mistakes. Hashem Yisborach creates the world and says it's toiv me'od. Say Chazal, toiv me'od? It's very good? If something's very good, that means something wasn't very good. What wasn't very good? Oh, the other worlds that Hashem created. Hashem created other worlds? 974 flops. Worlds that were not successful until he created this one, and this was Matzliach. Now, Hashem can't make a mistake. And even if he did, why tell us about it? He told us about it. He made 974 intentional failures and told us about it to let us know that mistakes and making mistakes is the aside, is the basis of our world. You're only a human being. You're allowed to make mistakes. And the people who are nifta know you made mistakes. And they know that you're sorry. And you can go and ask mechila. But if it's the sort of guilt that's going to eat somebody up and just destroy them, that's bad guilt. That's guilt sent from that fellow down there. Not from Hashem Yisborach. He's looking for good guilt. And I have to tell you, in my particular case, when I was most recently sitting Shiva, it was an abnormal Shiva. As I said, normal Shiva is when children are sitting Shiva for parents. That's the way it's meant to be. An abnormal Shiva is when, well, you don't quite anticipate it. And that's when I lost my wife. I didn't anticipate that one. And because there might be somebody watching this who's in my situation, or maybe one day Chas v'Shalom will be in my situation, I need to tell you something. Because you, like me, are a male. You are a man. That puts you at an enormous disadvantage. Last week, last Thursday, I was in Muncie. There's a new organization that's been set up to help young Hasidim who are divorced. So I went along to speak to this chevra, and there was 100 young men who had come along, all divorced. Now, there's a women's organization as well which has been set up to help young women in the tri-state area who are divorced. At the moment, it has 900 members. Now, I was never very good at math, but I think I can work this one out. If 100 guys are divorced, that means there's 100 women who are also divorced. Why is there 100 members of the male branch and 900 of the female branch? Now, to be fair, the female branch isn't only for Chassidim, but there's always going to be, and there is always a disproportionate balance when it comes to anything like this, for a very simple reason. Women know they need help. Men, no. Me? I'm fine. I'm doing just fine, thank you. Have you ever seen the way that a woman davens compares to a man's? Maybe you think of your wife, or you think of your mother or your daughter. When a woman davens, it's normally with her head down, and she's shocking very slowly. There will be tears, but they're quiet. And what she's doing is being makabel the gazardin. Even if her situation is hard, she's being makabel with a humble petition that maybe in Shemaim they could change the gazardin. If you ever see women in the woman's side of the koisel, that's what you see. Move the camera to the left-hand side and you see men davening at the koisel. How do men daven? We're fighting. We're wrestling each and every one a Yaakov Avinu, wrestling with the Malach, tearing the Malach down. No, we're going to tear up the Gezad Din and Shemaim. Women are makabel, men aren't. Women know that they need help and turn for support. Men don't, until often it's too late. And I think that was certainly true with me. In fact, I would love to, and I'm trying to set up at the moment an organization for men who've lost wives. To help them, to learn from mistakes and support each other. The problem is getting men to accept that they need help because, well, men are men. And the truth of the matter is that because we're men, we don't accept that we do have problems and we need help with problems, usually until we have no choice but to accept. And usually when it gets to that stage, gosh, it's too late. So if you, again, as I said before, if you have a specialized experience which can help somebody else who's going through tough times, then you've got shtikel achiv to bring your experience to the other person who is really, really struggling. You know, let me just tell you one thing. I wrote about this in my book. I wasn't sure whether I should put it in the book. It's based on the Rabbi Dessler and also on Rabbi Shlomo Volba. And I discussed this point with various other Rabbonim. Should I put this in the book? And there was a bit of a deal about it. The people that didn't want me to put it in the book, I was concerned with, are you saying that I've got wrong pshat in Rabbi Dessler, or does Rabbi Dessler say this? Everybody seemed to agree that eventually Rabbi Dessler Taka does say this. What does he say? Look, when a person is lying in their deathbed and they're about to be nifta, they're surrounded by their family and their friends, and then they close their eyes for the last moment, and then they open them again. When they open them again in Shemaim, who are they surrounded by? The exact same people they left behind just a split second ago. Time only exists in this world. In Olam HaBa, we've already lived our lives. We're already there. We don't see that. Now, this is a very deep idea. I checked that Rabbi Dessler does say this. Rav Moshe Shapiro, by coincidence, gave a shiur about this a month earlier in Yerushalayim. But he said it's a dangerous idea, and it is a dangerous idea. But for people who are suffering the loss, the thought that the wife that they lost, or the mother that they lost, or the child of Rachman and Islam that they lost, is not gone. You're already there with them is a huge nechama. It's a huge nechama. And there's one other little thing. And I wasn't, again, I put this in my book, and I wasn't sure whether to include this one either, but I just spoke just a few months ago to Rav Shlomo Brevda, Zichat Tzadik Livrocha, and I asked him, did he think this is true? Did he think that I should put it in? And he said I should. When my wife passed away, I was quite convinced that I knew what to do next, it was just before Shavuos. Surely it made sense to bring the entire family together, to have us close, to reconstitute the family at the Shabbos table, as it was when Mummy was still there. However, many people, many close friends, including Lady Jacobowitz, Alea Shalom, Dine Erntroy's wife, Lahavdil, Representative Erntroy, and good friends wanted to send me and my unmarried kids to Switzerland to get away for Shavuos. But I thought it was a bad idea. You see, one of the most beautiful things that you can do is to join an yeshiva because it's got structure and you know what to do. As we discussed, don't speak to the person who speaks to you. The difficulty is after Shiva. So there was a store a little bit, like a large supermarket in England called Tesco. And on the Sunday morning, my brother-in-law and I went shopping. This was after I got up from Shiva. And I was walking with pushing the cart. And other Frum Yidden who saw us coming, it was actually quite funny. They were running down the various aisles to get away from us because when it's a Shiva, you know what to do. You know what to say. There's a form, there's a structure. When it comes to after Shiva, people are not terribly sure if they know what to do anymore. In fact, there was one young couple walking towards us, so engaged in conversation, they didn't realize it was me. And they approached, they looked up and saw me, and it was like a deer in headlights. They looked like this, and then they dashed down the side to try and get away. I realized that was making people feel uncomfortable, so we accepted the offer of our friends who paid, Bali Chesed, Klalgestrol, to go to a place called Flims in the mountains in Switzerland for Shavuos. We arrived at the hotel, a little kosher hotel, pretty tired, and went for sleep. And when I went for sleep, my late wife came to me in a dream. This is what I asked Rav Brevda, should I put in? Now, this experience is a completely different experience to any other dream. And there was my late wife. She was just standing there, smiling. And I said to her, how come you're here? And she just carried on smiling. And then I woke up. And I was so upset and so distressed, I tried to go back to sleep. I wanted to speak to her. But I knew that she'd be back to tell me, you know what? It's all okay. It's all okay. All the tough times are by. Now she's in a place where she's happy. It was a big nechama for me. I put that in the book to share with people so people should know. Even through the tough times, afterwards, they're okay. It's us that are having a little bit of time till we get back together again. But there's something else there. Don't forget that the Shiva has got a structure. And you're able. You know what to do. You know how to help people. And as I said right at the beginning, just by being there, you are helping people. There's no fixed structure after Shiva. But it doesn't mean to say that you shouldn't and you can't. In fact, you should. Keep in touch. Keep going around. Make sure that the people are still okay. Make sure they know you care about them. Make sure that you're reaching out to let them know that anything they still need, you're still there to provide. Because the Shiva process is a chinuch. It's a chinuch for what happens after the Shiva process. We only get through tough times with the support of other people. And we only get through the tough times as they become less tough, still with the support of other people.